Our Bibles for our New Testament reading, 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Second Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Do we begin again to commend ourselves, or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? Ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshy tables of the heart. And such trust we have through Christ to Godward. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. But if the ministration of death, written and engraven in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect by reason of the glory that excelleth. For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now, the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. Beloved, this passage is very, very important, but its importance is steeped in knowledge and understanding of the Old Testament. I venture to say that a cursory reading of the Old Testament will not avail to the right understanding of this passage. There is so much Old Testament theology and circumstance that is steeped into this passage and in the next chapter that if we don't understand what Paul is referring to and what context in which he's speaking, we'll not hear this passage. We'll not hear it at all. So notice how he begins. He begins with a further commendation of his ministry among the Corinthians. There was that doubt. We heard about that from our two readers last week. There were doubts and criticisms that had risen up against the Apostle Paul. His preaching is not effectual, some might say, which the end of chapter 2 answers, right? Our preaching is always a sweet savor to God, and so on. Some would have said about Paul, as they will say a little bit later, you know, his letters are weighty, but have you seen him? He's this slight little guy. And, you know, it's like he's got small man's disease. He writes big, but when he comes here, we don't see it, right? There are all of those kinds of physical characteristic stuff. Okay, so what does Paul say here? Are we looking to you to commend us? Or are we looking, do we commend ourselves in this way? No. Ye are our epistle. We're not looking for a letter of commendation from you that we can share with everybody. We're not even going to write a letter commending ourselves. No, you are our commendation unto God in that this is, and notice where this commendation takes place, in our own hearts. That's what Paul says here. You're our commendation. It's a letter that is inscribed upon our own hearts. And that breaks him into an understanding of this New Testament theology, if you will, proper biblical New Testament theology, and its contrast to Old Testament theology. There's an epistle that is written on the heart. What is that epistle? Well, Paul says, we preached to you, Corinthians, and you know what the Lord did when we preached to you? He opened your hearts and wrote his law upon your hearts, just like he promised he would in the Old Testament. This is what we see in this passage that many people forget to notice in their commentaries of it. It's amazing because it is the basis of understanding here. Paul is saying, we are alive, living in the days of the fulfillment of God's promises to the prophets when he said, it'll come to pass in those days that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and I will take the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh, and I will write my law upon your hearts, and ye will do that which I have commanded. Of course, not perfectly. But beloved, let us remember that the Old Testament was not a testament of a copious and flood-like pouring out of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God in the days of the Old Testament was poured out in small rivulets, in little streams, in this place and in that place, in this man and in that man. The Spirit of God was enjoyed by a very few saints in the days of the Old Testament. All according to the plan and purpose of the Lord, that the copious pouring out of the Spirit of God would await the coming of Messiah. And that what Christ would purchase in his work would be that pouring out of the flood of the Spirit of God that is spoken of in, say, Jeremiah 31 and Ezekiel 36 and Joel chapter 2. Peter himself will validate that, won't he, on the day of Pentecost. So this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, that these are the days when the Spirit of God will be so diffuse among the people of God that old men, young men, old women, young women, prophets, we won't need prophets anymore because all of the people will be God's prophets. They'll speak his word. They'll have his law written upon their hearts. Paul says, these are those days, Corinthians. Are you looking for a commendation of our ministry? We already have it in our own hearts because you believed. People like you in Corinth believed. This is the commendation that we have in our own hearts, Paul will say. Not in tables of stone, but in the fleshy tables of the heart. This is the greatness of this passage then. Now notice, he will say something about the Old Testament that very few today are willing to recognize. Because most, especially some commentators from 2 Corinthians chapter 3, they will teach you that the Old Testament was a legal age. And by legal, they mean legalistic. Some of our Puritan fathers called it a legal age, but not a legalistic age. And there is a huge difference, beloved. a legal age in that the gospel was contained or put up, if you will, on the scaffolding of the law. Because the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ and to drive us out of ourselves. What did the Jews do, many of them? They received it as a covenant of works, didn't they? Sadly, there are some theologians that receive it in the same way. But beloved, Paul doesn't speak that way here. You know how I know Paul doesn't speak that way here? Because he tells us, hear me very closely, that that covenant had a glory about it. If it was a legal covenant, it could not have had a glory. It would only be condemnation, because nobody ever measured up. But Paul says it did have a glory. In fact, that glory that it had was something that was designed to fade. That's the other thing that he teaches in this passage. Rather than thinking Moses veiled his face so that people would come near him, that's not what Paul tells us at all. Paul says that Moses veiled his face to keep the people of Israel to see that that glory that was upon his face faded when he left the presence of God. Because that would have been to teach them that the glory of that estate was a fading glory. It was to give way to the glory that excels, the glory of the New Testament. Did it have a glory? It most certainly did, beloved. It was God's manifestation of the covenant of grace in those days. And the Spirit did run, although in small rivulets and streams. But it was in preparation for the glory that excelleth. And so, Moses hid his face from the people of God. Now, I don't think Moses had an ill motive in doing that. I think what Moses believed that he was doing was manifesting or making greater the glory of God. If the people of God would have seen the glory fading from his face, they might have been tempted to disregard that glory. The Lord says it faded in this passage to manifest that that was a temporary glory to be exceeded by another glory to come. So it is interesting. We want to believe the best about our elder brother Moses, don't we? Our elder brother Moses believed that he was manifesting a greater glory by hiding his face. Actually, what he did was, because they did not see it diminishing from his face, they, the Jews of Paul's day, cleaved too closely to that glory of Moses rather than to see that there was designed a glory to exceed it by God himself. And so even when Moses is read today, Paul says, the veil remains upon their heart. But notice also what he says, but even nevertheless, when it, the heart, shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away, just like it did in you Corinthians. And remember that many of those Corinthians, as we have seen, came from the synagogue. So it is not impossible for those first century Jews to have that veil taken away and their hearts turned to flesh, and they received the Spirit of God and all of the promises of the new covenant. Many of them did. Many of them did on the day of Pentecost. Many of them did at Corinth. So as we work our way through this passage then, and so far all we've seen is just a very brief overview of it, we see that without that knowledge of the Old Testament and the New Testament, without that knowledge of the promises and the continuity and discontinuities of the two, we will be tempted to think then that the Old Testament was a legal covenant that needed to be done away with, that you could somehow gain your favor with God by keeping the law. Many, many theologians have said that. Some of you used to perhaps have a Scofield Bible. In the notes of that Scofield Bible, Dr. Cyrus Scofield once said that at Sinai, God's people traded grace for law. Did they? No, they did not. They did not. Not the true people of God. Oh, there may have been some that erroneously thought they could keep God's law and earn favor with him, just like there may be those in Christian churches today. But if we think that, it's because our hearts have not yet been opened to have that law written savingly and graciously upon those hearts. So, the Apostle Paul then is speaking to the Corinthian church, and in defense of his ministry, he says, you Corinthians believed. You know why you believed? Because God turned your hearts toward him. He took the stony heart out of your flesh. He put a heart of flesh in your flesh, and he wrote his law savingly upon your hearts. And so we shall not return to that reading of the law and that veiled glory. Rather, we shall look upon that glory today, and we shall be changed from glory to glory. That is, from the glory upon which we gaze and the glory upon which we receive from that gaze. We are gazing upon it as it were in a glass, in a mirror. The only other thing that we must talk about here in 2 Corinthians 3, rightly to understand this passage, is that while Moses had a glory that faded from off of his face, when did he have that glory? Where do we see that? What passage? What chapter? Do you remember? Exodus chapter 34. What happened in Exodus chapter 33? Moses did not have that glory on his face when he came down and from Mount Sinai and confronted the children of Israel on the issue of the golden calf. It was after that. Why after that? What happened in chapter 33? In chapter 33, Moses, who stood before the Lord for 40 days on Sinai, who received the tabernacle, the priesthood, the sacrifices, who saw God write with his finger the Ten Commandments on those tables of stone, that same Moses said, "Show me thy glory." And when God put him in the cleft of the rock, passed by and proclaimed his name, only after that did Moses come down the mountain with his face shining. He saw the glory of God, and yet that glory was designed in his day to be a glory that faded. But in our day, it is not designed to fade any longer at all. In Christ and by his Spirit, the glory that we receive, we are transformed from glory to glory. And notice, it's in the present tense, we are being transformed from glory to glory. Are you ready? This is the payoff. So that rather than diminishing, beloved, it is increasing. And it will be finalized one day in glory. This is what Paul is teaching here from those Old Testament examples. And if we don't understand those sections of Exodus chapters 33 and 4, we're not going to get what's being spoken of here. And if we don't hear the promise of the pouring out of the Spirit of God and the fleshy tables of the heart, we're not going to get it. Without that background, 2 Corinthians chapter 3 sounds like dispensationalism to us. But that's what dispensationalism always does. It truncates and dumbs down the Old Testament so as to horribly affect the proper interpretation of the New Testament, right? All right, with that then, let's stand and call upon the Lord in prayer.